12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, that you can hear weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. And Jonathan, we were sitting here talking about some things going on in practice, including Treylon Burks, who, once again, we're kind of seeing some things. Don't know what exactly is going on with him, but some things that concern the wide receiver to my right.
Yeah, and gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello.
I don't disagree with D-Mace on this. I want to see him out there practicing with the ones. You drafted this guy in the first round. He's going to contribute a heavy amount to this offense. I want to get as many reps as possible for him with the first-team offense. Without, of course, if there's something that they're worried about that could become more serious and affect week one, that's the caveat to this. But, you know, he went in early on one practice last week, came back in practice the next day. We were discussing, Derek, about the reps for him in the preseason game on Saturday, and now he goes in early today. Vrabel didn't address any injury concern last week at this time when I was on with you guys. With Burks going inside, I don't know if he will today or not, but clearly it's not a good sign because it's consistently inconsistent with when he's very good versus if he's available, and that's not ideal for where this offense needs to be right now and what they're counting on him for.
What is your confidence level if going into week one against the Giants that basically your starting receivers are NWI, Robert Woods, and Kyle Phillips?
As long as Austin Hooper is mixed in with that, I'm okay with it because it's going to be a heavy dose of Derrick Henry either way. With the new pieces on offense and with the issues we'll get to in the offensive line, to me, the game plan is pretty simple. It's a heavy dose of 22, and then you work your options. Robert Woods looks very good. I think Hooper is someone that has a chance to flourish within this offense and more two tight end sets. So he's the legitimate number one option. Speaking of guys they're getting involved, they're actively working him with Tannehill on
exactly.
purpose, right? That's a great example of a guy that has been out there on a consistent basis and should be, no different than Burks. They're going to give Burks chances, but, we're a week later on this, and I still can't tell you exactly his role. I can tell you Kyle Phillips seems like a guy that's going to be 40 to 50 catches for, 500 yards. He's that third down guy. I can't tell – today, the vibe I get on Burks, because, again, I still think he needs to go claim where he's going to be. They want him to be the X, but right now he's not.
We're talking with Jonathan Hutton. You can follow him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick. Now, that is sort of the question that we've had, because Kyle Phillips, he has proven that not only is he going to be a returner, but he's going to be a third guy. And everyone's screaming about, well, Treylon Burks should be the starter game one. I understand we knew what he was in college, but we just hadn't found out, and I'm not faulting the young man for it,
right?
But we just don't know what he is now. That's the issue I'm running in with.
But we see flashes
exactly.
of what he did at Arkansas, right? And that's what you want to see on a consistent basis weekly. I wish we could hit the fast-forward button and see that progress, because it's just a running narrative. Everybody knows, the rookie that comes in here barely plays and contributes out of the first round recently. They need this guy to hit. I've been harping on that every year, and they somehow continue to win without getting a ton of help from their rookie class. But this feels different. They need a large contribution from him. He does not have to replace A.J. Brown, but they have to come up with a solution to replace A.J. Brown's production. And there's not one guy on the team that can replicate exactly what A.J. meant with the big plays. Even games where he only had three catches, he's affecting a game where he's setting up a game-winning field goal with a one-handed toe-tap pass from Tannehill in a two-minute drill. He came up with some clutch moments that helped them win football games. That's where they need Burks the most. It doesn't have to be in a quantity of catches, but they need him to be consistent week in, week out, and available. And that's the biggest issue now is this is the prime time to get Tannehill working with him. And, far too often it's sometimes here, sometimes there. Oh, he went in early. He'll be back tomorrow. But, again, the inconsistency of it doesn't allow us to say, he's a day one contributor. And he should be. I would work him ahead of some of these guys anyway against the Giants. But you do want some solutions on film and behind the scenes here. more than just him in the film room, right?
Absolutely. Now, Jonathan, we talked yesterday about, you know, the guys that Willie asked me, what other position or group you may be a little bit concerned about? And my answer was the secondary. Not necessarily because I think they're not good.
Right.
I think they are led by Kevin Byard. But I don't think the guys that they have at the corner position right now have logged in enough minutes. Am I worried about them versus the Giants? No, I'm not. The Giants have nobody. Am I worried about them moving forward when they play Buffalo and Indianapolis? Yes, that's when I think that secondary, more importantly, those corners will be tested.
Yep. And
I hate when people write off the Giants, though. Like, I get so nervous and paranoid.
Wait a minute. Am I getting a little Coach Willie from
there's
you?
There's some Coach Chase.
I'm teaching you well. You never overlook somebody.
Coach Jared, Coach Chase, yeah.
They don't have much going for them, though.
No, they don't.
I mean, look at their injury list. Like a week ago, the Giants were unable to practice over 20 players. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, Dable was complaining about his team not being in good enough shape, conditioning-wise. They want Daniel Jones to let it rip. We saw what happened his rookie year when he did that. He turned it over 50 times that season. Half interceptions, half fumbles. I think that plays into the secondary's hands a bit. I'm not concerned with their starting group, Mace. I'm concerned with their depth and how they piece things together if they have a nickel go down or if one of the safeties is out for a second half or whatever it may be. That they've been stirring the free agency wire, right, the waiver wire and trades, trying to piece the back end of this roster together because I think J-Rob saw it and said that they were not good enough as they were last year, especially at the safety spot. They signed Lonnie Johnson. They're running him at safety now, which is probably where he should have been previously and why Kansas City didn't keep him. But he can earn a role here quickly just by being consistent and available.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And, Hutt, we were talking before you came on the air. We all noticed it. Nicholas Petit-Frere was starting with the ones at right tackle, and Dylan Radins was not backing him up. He was backing up at left guard. So are we ready to say this rookie is going to be the opening day starter?
Yeah, I think they made the decision. And the only way it doesn't happen is if Petit-Frere gets hurt now. Like, I think they saw what they saw last week. You know, if he's your right tackle now, that means he's the starting right tackle Saturday, your final tune-up preseason game before week one, 2 weeks later. Why would you not run your starters out there and make the determination and then change it up after that? That doesn't make sense to me. Radins has had every opportunity. All offseason, he's been working at right tackle. Mm-hmm. He's been coming out with the first group since minicamp. And Monday, we saw the shift. We saw Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. He's at right tackle again today. And they've got Radins working inside, which is where he finished the season last year. So, yeah, they've made the determination without making it official. It's to me, it's crystal clear.
We've been debating this all week after Radins, you know, even to the casual observer, you could see that he was struggling. So could he be a viable guard someday? And are they willing to give him time there? Or are they to the point where it's just there might be somebody better out there?
This sounds terrible. I think he can be a guard because he has help on each side. He's always going to have help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds terrible, but that's where he is now. He's had a chance on his island, and they're going to have to chip and help out and with tight end and running back for him. Mm-hmm. And Lawan should be on an island in and of himself based on his where we would put him among left tackles. But sometimes you do want to help out on the left side based on certain protections that you're looking for. So they need some consistency, and Radins had every opportunity to grab it, never did. And I think Petit-Frere has gradually come along, bigger frame than Radins. Maybe a bit more athletic. This goes back. I was thinking about this in minicamp. Vrabel praised Nicholas Petit-Frere when Lawan went down with just something, you know, minor. Mm-hmm. He had to miss a play, and the rookie jumped in to take the rep. And Vrabel mentioned it to the media after practice as something that stood out. And I think it was also something last year that you could pick up on this time of year where they're trying to get Radins to jump in there.
Mm-hmm. And he just wasn't.
And it was Petit-Frere that was more aggressive with it. So they've made their choice. I don't know if it's necessarily a great option because they've both been very inconsistent. But one guy continually to improve and I think is taking some coaching where they're working on some technique And meanwhile, they've been working with Ravens for 2 years, and he's back playing inside again.
Do we have a sense of who the utility guy would be today and if they're maybe looking around for that depth guy as they search at who could be available in a couple weeks?
I don't think the utility guy is on the roster unless they believe Raidens gets one more shot at being a swing guy. Because he could, I know, like, so
I like that idea.
Well, but what happened? So here's what we can go by what we've seen over the last 2.5 years. Lawan doesn't play every game. Mm-hmm. Just he doesn't play every game. So if they have left tackle go down, what do you do? Who do you play at left and right? They don't have nearly the depth that they've had in years past. 2 years ago in 2020, they had an issue starting in week two against Minnesota. They were putting backups in. And they managed the offensive line with Arthur Smith and what they did from a technique standpoint and how they ran their offense. That's why I think we're going to see more heavy too tight and why we will see help on the right side either way. But on the left side, too, if you go too tight, you're helping both guys. And especially if something happens with Taylor – where, I mean, for instance, first drive, Saturday, Lawan's motioning to the sideline, and people thought that he left the game after three snaps and that was planned. He went to the sideline, had his hand taped, and he went back in the next drive. But someone had to jump in and take those reps. Right now, it's Raidens and Petit Frere, and that is not the best option. They miss a Dennis Kelly. Quessenberry's not a starting right tackle, but he's a serviceable backup. That was his role, and he was out of his role last year.
Yep. And Brewer was a serviceable backup.
Yeah, and they've got a couple different guys that have played multiple positions. Jones from Seattle, who we have not seen, Jamarco Jones.
See, he's a guy that I wonder what they think of him because he hasn't been out there much, right?
He reminds me of Kendall Lamb. I thought Kendall Lamb was going to come here and compete for a right tackle job, and he didn't. So I lean towards looking at the waiver wire and seeing what's available whenever the cuts are made or, you know, if a free agent comes available simply because out of necessity you've evaluated your entire camp and now you're willing to spend some money that otherwise you probably wouldn't have done because you're hoping that the two young guys make it. Can we get into what you just said about Raidens when we walked up?
Yeah.
You think he's not on the 53?
I don't think – I'm just looking at it based upon what he did last year.
Yeah.
What he's done this year.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by your line of thinking here because – You're reading into it more than I am, I think.
And because of Vrabel is real big on teaching, technique, and everything. He's huge on that.
Yep.
And it just seems this kid hasn't picked it up. And he won't pick it up. He may be a player in this league, but for this team right now, he shouldn't make the 53-man roster. I don't care if you did draft him in the second round. He's just not good enough. And the Titans can't afford to wait to see if he's good enough. I would rather just go get somebody else once the cuts are made and let them be the backup because you know what you got in him and you can't – I don't think that coaching staff can honestly say if something happens to anybody on our offensive line, we feel comfortable with throwing Raidens in the regular season. I don't know if they do.
I don't think they do.
I mean, they intentionally didn't tell him he was starting on Thursday Night Football until the morning of the game because they didn't want him thinking about it. Yeah. That's true. They told him on game day that he was starting at left tackle. So, I think it gets in his head a little bit. I also don't think he's nearly as aggressive and physical as they want him to be. And I think Petit Frere's bigger frame allows him to do it. I think the mentality's a little off with Raidens.
He doesn't have –
with how he fits this group.
Yeah, he doesn't have the mentality to play – offensive line on this team. I just don't think he do, and I don't think he ever will.
I think it's a fair assessment. Like I would not cut bait with him yet. But I'm judging him against his backups.
Yeah.
And this group is not deep.
Like exactly.
That's the best thing he has going for him.
Yes, and he can play multiple positions because last year, whenever they made the determination after the joint practice with the Falcons, I think it was. They came back, or maybe in the Bucks, excuse me. They came back, and all of a sudden he was running inside, and they wanted to get him reps and learn if a guy goes down, here's the mechanics of how we're going to make it work. No, they had made the determination he's not a right tackle. They're not working Petit Frere guard.
Well, they've given him every opportunity to make this team.
I know.
He has not – I don't think he stepped up and shown them enough. But when you're picked in the second round, you get a little bit more leeway than a lot of other people.
Real quick, Hutt, before we let you go, something that you all have done for years here in Nashville, you're doing it again. It's back, and we're excited to have 94.9 The Fan help be a part of it.
We would love for your listeners to tag us on Twitter, slide up into our DMs at Outkick360, and let us know why you want to be in the Outkick 360 Fantasy Football League. The best prizes through Two Rivers Ford. $1,000 cash for first place. Actually, first place gets to pick your prize. It's $1,000 cash. John Barker gave us his suite. He's done this every year for a Preds game of your choice. So you get the suite for 14 people, I believe, and we will humbly raise our hand and say we'll take three of those. Then we have a new set of tires, courtesy of Two Rivers Ford as well. So if you're first place, you get the pick, and then it goes to second and third. Every time I finished in the top three, I defer to one of the other participants. I don't claim the prize. So that means, I mean, your odds are really good. It's a 14-team league. 11 people are gunning for these prizes, and you have great odds if you draft well. As long as you don't, take the random back-to-back quarterback in your first and second round like we've seen before. You have a great chance of winning some cool prizes, and all you have to do is just hit us up on social media with your case for why you won in the league. Live draft, that's our only requirement. It is in person at 6th and Peabody, and we'll have a bar set up with food and drink, and it'll be a really fun time. It takes roughly an hour and a half for the draft, and then we stick around and watch other things on TV.
Well, very cool. Appreciate the time as always, Hutt.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be listening today starting at 2 on 94.9 The Fan.
Stay cool.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutt, Outkick 360, joining us. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel is done, but you'll hear what he had to say, and I guess a little chippy today for Mike Vrabel. So we will hear from him coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Dirk Mason with you. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, for dropping by. We just got the breakdown from Coach Jared.
Coach Jared has his breakdown. Yep.
He will he'll
so
have it going
today,
at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock.
Today. So, and he's already told us that something Vrabel said he didn't get an hour out of. So, with that said, let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Ryan mentioned inconsistency, but what were your overall takeaways from the joint?
Well, I mean, I thought that there was some good stuff. I thought 7-on-7 was good. I didn't think the, you know, down here in the red zone, I think the 1-on-1s, it's the same stuff, and we just have to realize it's going to be contested. There's going to be contact. You know, we have to do a better job of, you know, attacking a football and keeping guys off of us, and that's what it's going to be. It's tight. It's quick. Thought we got some good work in the team against ourselves, and then the offenses didn't do much there in the 2 minutes, so we'll have to figure that out.
The officials work a little bit counter to what you wanted to get done at certain points in terms of you were talking to them about wanting to move on with things.
Well, I mean, you know, I had the tackle, you know, in the backfield. Again, they're doing what we're asking them to do. Right. You know, I mean, I think just would have liked to seen, you know, them execute the, you know, down clock or whatever. And, you know, again, we tell our guys if they warn you and you don't scoot up, then they're going to call, you know, they're going to call a penalty. So, you know, that's how it goes. Officials are out here, they're working, and, you know, we have to know, you know, have to get a good idea of how they're calling the game.
Were you pretty pleased with the way that the defense kind of held Murray in the pocket, didn't let him escape very much in the 2 minute and made him dump it down?
Yeah, I mean, every week's a different quarterback, and clearly his talent is, you know, is something that, you know, you have to kind of be conscious of, and, you know, and that's, you know, that's what he does very well, and they worked it a little bit in 7-on-7, and you know, each week it'll be a new challenge about, you know, where the quarterback is, what he can do, and, you know, what his ability level is.
What are the challenges that Kyler Murray brings to defense, just again, how beneficial are specifically these reps?
Yeah, these are great. You know, I mean, every time we can go against somebody different, new scheme, you know, new set of players with different skill sets, new concepts, and then obviously a quarterback of his level to be able to deliver the football, you know, not only from the pocket but create plays, you know, off platform and being able to attack a defense in numerous ways.
Coach,
Byard and Hooker were heavily involved in one-on-ones today. What prompts you from time to time to send those guys there?
Because they're going to have to be involved in all site, you know, sorts of coverage, and you know, I think their tight end numbers were probably down, so probably contributed to it.
Brian said that there were a bunch of looks that they gave today that you guys obviously didn't prepare for before one practice. He said that doesn't happen much in the regular season, but it does occasionally happen. When they do get a look that they're not familiar with, what do you want them to do?
Well, I mean, I think what we want all of us to do is try to be as poised and instinctive as possible. Let your rules help you and sort things out. You know, we've got rules at all levels and of each call. And, you know, try to fix problems, figure it out quickly. Take a hit off the quarterback in protection. You know, make a play, you know, as a receiver. Defensively would be the same thing. You're just trying to avoid, you know, if it's something new, it's a new scheme, you know. Safety's got to be able to try to figure it out and get the guy on the ground and save a touchdown for those bad things that come up.
How concerned are you with 2 weeks in a row in the two-minute drill against another team giving up a sack?
I think that those are tough in 2 minute. We say, you know, I mean, sacks kill 2 minute, and you know, whether it's a holding penalty or you know a sack, That's part of it. That's something that we're going to have to look at and make sure that we're all on the same page and what our, you know, what we're doing and how we can help those guys in the route and not only, you know, in protection.
Coach, you and Cliff go back a while with your teammates on that 3 team. What's the relationship been like and what do you remember about Cliff as a young quarterback back then?
Well, I mean, obviously it was great work. I mean, Cliff's great to work with. This was easy communication, open communication about what they wanted to get done, what we wanted to get done. Came over this morning, met, you know, talked with the officials, thought things ran smoothly. So, you know, our playing days are long over, you know, so we're going to try to be better coaches than we were players.
Campbell got to knock the ball out today. How's he improved maybe from the start of camp?
Just making progress, Jim. You know, I mean, it's new looks in there each day for linebackers, especially young ones, but I think to see the guys that are practicing the stuff that we're coaching, we talked about the number of attempts that we had coming out of that football game last week defensively to see that carry over, and then we have to be better, you know, offensively. We have to be strong to the tuck and, you know, take care of the football. We know how critical that is, and that'll be the case the entire season.
Derek getting some team period reps today. How is that process coming along as far as just getting him ready for the season and making sure that he's up to speed?
Good. I mean, he's involved in all the meetings, and we'll try to have a plan with him and try to, you know, get him prepared and thought today would be a good day to get him some reps. Might get a little bit of work tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. So, but I think he's in a good spot.
Is that something that you more or less like you monitor from day to day, or like how do you go about planning out what workload he's going to get?
Well, I mean, obviously we talk about it every day, Frank and I and Todd, and, you know, we monitor each and every player and their health and, you know, where they're at. So, you know, ultimately a lot of that falls on Frank and his staff. I kind of oversee it and decide, you know, when he'll enter back into practice.
There was one fourth down, Mike, where Malik looked like he threw the ball away. Lose track of downs there?
Should ask Malik.
How much, back to Derek for a minute, how much do you take input from him as far as putting him out here in the team periods and things
like that? Well, Derek wants to be as involved as possible, you know what I mean? So we have open dialogue and, you know, he's been great and he's been all for, you know, whatever it is that we decide we think is best for him and ultimately the team.
Theo out for a little while, that reemerges and is moving around again. The versatility plug right back in, or is a guy when he misses time kind of lose out on some of the ability to play multiple positions like that?
Well, a lot of that is just necessity, you know. So started working at safety and then, you know, got to look and see what you have and try to figure out somebody's got to go there and, you know, you got to have at least two deep, so. We figured we'd try him at nickel today.
Mike, what do you think of Malik's poise, accuracy, and decision-making in the 7-on-7 period?
I thought it was improved. I thought that there was some good timing, you know, We talked about something that came up yesterday against zone and how quickly that ball should be delivered and where it needs to go. And so I thought that there were some accurate balls, you know, standing where I was in the 7-on-7.
Talked about the fact that mistakes happen, but what you hope is they're new mistakes, not repeat mistakes. Does a day like today expose some of that as a great teaching lesson off of it?
I mean, mistakes are going to be part of this game. It's part of life, how you handle them, how you come back, and not trying to make, like you said, the same mistake twice or let them kind of mount up, you know, let them start to snowball and continue to think about, you know, what it is that you, you know, did wrong. And we got to move on. There's a lot of snaps in the game. There's a lot of ups and downs, and we got to try to find a way that no matter what the result of the play was, just get back to neutral, get back centered, and find a way to do our job the next snap, figure out what the situation is. Is it third down? Is it second and 10? Where am I at on the field? What personnel group there? You know, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, we try to get them to think about next as opposed to the mistake they made. So, you know, we'll look at it, and we'll continue to coach it, and, you know, I thought it was a good day of work.
Stonehouse proven to be an effective holder. Is that kind of a wash in terms of the competition?
Yeah, I mean, Stoney, I think, is doesn't have as much experience as Brett does, but, you know, that's why we're working him in there and trying to get him as many of those opportunities as we can.
What's your level of concern with Traylon at this point with the lack of consistency?
You know, I don't really try to get overly concerned. You know, I mean, I try to coach and try to figure out who's available each and every day. I mean, we've been through a lot. It's a long season, and whether it's Traylon, whether it's Deshaun Hand, whether it's, you know, go right on down the list of, you know, guys that, you know, may or may not be there, we just put the next guy in. Like, that's what we've always done. That's what we're going to continue to do, and that's how it goes.
There you go, Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach. Ending on Traylon Burks, that's where we will start coming up next, because I thought that was interesting, and also some other takeaways from Mike Vrabel's press conference. But first, Derek, tell us about Cool Springs MD.
Yes, man, open your ears. Be attentive here, because I need to tell you something. I need to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances, and Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Yes, man, men, we need it. As we get older, we know our quality of life starts to dip down somewhat, but Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. You wonder why my energy levels are so high? Because I visit Cool Springs MD. So, there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So, what are you waiting on, man? Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today to make an appointment at 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit the website at coolspringsmd.com.
What's your level of concern with Traylon at this point with the lack of consistency?
You know, I don't really try to get overly concerned. You know, I mean, I try to coach and try to figure out who's available each and every day. I mean, we've been through a lot. It's a long season. And whether it's Traylon, whether it's Deshaun Hand, whether it's, you know, go right on down the list of, you know, guys that, you know, may or may not be there. We just put the next guy in. Like, that's what we've always done. That's what we're going to continue to do. And that's how it goes.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Traylon Burks and his inconsistency. Welcome back in. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're at St. Thomas Sports Park today, Titans training camp. And, look, I'll start with this.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, you know, pissy Vrabel before. That was not pissy Vrabel.
Nah.
I actually thought he gave a pretty good answer of, and, you know, it was your typical coach speak of next man up. But, I mean, honestly, that's the right answer to give. If the guy can't go or if the guy is not performing, then you go to the next guy.
I mean, I have a – maybe this is a worrywart take on this. The question was about consistency.
Yeah.
The answer to me was more of a, hey, the guy's hurt, we got to look at the other guys.
Right.
So that, I mean, I'm reading
the consistency question.
No, I thought it was more of the answer of availability. And that tells me that Treylon Burks' availability is in question for the next few days. He said it's a long season. That, to me, clues you in on a, well, we got to look long term here. But I think the first few weeks we were so encouraged that Burks was out here every day. He was catching passes. We were noticing him. The last week or so, number one, as you said, Derek, a lot, you were concerned they didn't throw him the ball very much in the games, but he was out there. But he's had some nicks, you know, we're wondering about asthma, we're wondering about something with the lower body that we saw last week, but he didn't finish the practice. So is there something up? I mean, that's the first thing is, will he be back out there tomorrow? Will he be in there on Saturday, or does he need to take a few days?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to – whatever's going on with Burks, if it's from a physical standpoint, then I think they're just going to be very cautious, and rightfully so, because this is a young man that came in and from a physical standpoint just wasn't ready. Now, I give, you know, a kudos to him is he worked himself into being ready at the beginning of the camp, but now, you know, these kids, even though the camps are not like they used to be, they're still harder than what they came from. And it's not just on the field. It's the mental aspect of it that wears you down as well. So they've been in camp, to them it seems like 3 months. and it's been wearing on guys. And, you know, Vrabel understands that. So if it's from a physical standpoint, then, you know, I'm with him. Listen, I want to be as cautious as I possibly can with the kid, because the last thing I want to do is throw him out there and he's not physically ready. I don't think he's, from a classroom standpoint, ready as well. I don't think he has grasped or mastered the playbook the way they wanted him to. Hence, that's why you don't see him in certain packages, or you don't see him a starter at this particular time. He's not even in a three-man rotation. So that's telling me two things. That's telling me, one, either he's dealing with something physical and they can't afford to put him out there as much, or he just is not picking up the offense the way they feel he needs to in order to be in that three-man rotation.
Yeah, and so my question on that is, because until that happens, and if that happens, you're going to hear everybody going, oh, no, what's going on with them, first-round pick, all those things. But then if all of a sudden, you know, it starts coming together, then you forget all this.
Of course.
It goes away. And it's just this young player took him a little longer to develop.
Well, and for example, we know Jared's going to be all over this today. Jared, and this is what he does. He gets all into the results of each practice, and it's the biggest deal in the world for that day. I mean, we talk about this for 3 or 4 hours a day. All of us do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the big picture, you know, it like you're saying, Chase, if he's not ready to go day one as the regular number one, number two guy, it's not the end of the world necessarily. Bingo. You know, the question is, does he get there eventually? But because, as we've said, since the day of the trade and forever going forward, he's going to be compared to A.J. Brown.
But people are going to look at it from this standpoint. You drafted A.J. Brown a few years ago. He was ready day one. You go back to Kendall Wright. We drafted him in the first round. He was ready day one. So people are looking at, well, why isn't he ready day one? Why isn't Burks ready day one?
And we don't know that he won't be.
Exactly. I understand. Today. But right now, if the Titans were going into a game, we have seen the three guys they're going into the game with. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips, and Robert Woods. Those are the three guys they're going in the game with. Now, I'm not saying Treylon Burks won't get any play, but those are their starting three.
615-737-1025. What is your concern level with Treylon Burks right now today as training camp is winding down? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp. 1025-1063 The Game.
It's hard to view him as an every down top two kind of guy at this point. I think he'll have a role, and I think he'll probably make an impact. I think he occasionally you'll see him do some things that not a lot of receivers can do, and just like we've seen in practice, you know, every once in a while, you know, he'll disappear for a while. You've seen it in preseason games, you've seen it in practices, but every once in a while he'll make a play that you sit there and go, okay, the other guys can't do that. And I think you'll see that. There's always going to be, you know, room for that in the NFL. But in terms of consistency play by play, at this point, I don't know if he's going to be a guy that you can depend on to be out there play after play after play like you would a Robert Woods or maybe Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And I think you just in terms of that whole group saying it's a concern, I just don't see anyone in that group outside of Robert Woods that scares me if I'm a defensive coordinator. I think Burks could, and if he becomes an every down producer kind of guy, then I think he would.
There you go, Gentry Estes on Robbie and Rex Road. Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you, discussing Treylon Burks, 615-737-1025. Your concern with his inconsistencies. I want to read this text for you, Derek and Willie. Unnamed texter says, all I have to say is some people are game-time performers and don't practice well. Take a look back at what his college coaches have said about his condition, etc. I just think we truly will see how he feels or does in game one. You buy that?
Well, I know your answer, Derek. I'm going to go back to the late Floyd Reese. One of the things he taught me, he goes, there are some guys. I'm hoping that this is the case with Burks. He called them the silks guys.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when they put the silks on, there's another level. Mm-hmm. We won't know until they actually play. But there are some guys that when the lights go on and it's for real, you see another level from them. My biggest concern is not that he'll not eventually learn the playbook and all that stuff. And I heard Gentry Estes talking about that. But if he's not available, you can't get out there. So I hope he just can get out there and be healthy for week one. And I'm not so sure right now.
Derek, what's your best ability?
I got a lot of good abilities.
Well, okay.
To look at wide receivers, if you're talking about from a football standpoint, to now that I'm retired, to look at receivers and assess them, and I can tell you whether this guy – if he stays healthy, is a player or not. Now, when I say he's a player, I don't mean he's going to be an Hall of Famer, but this is a guy that can play in his league and can play at a high level if given an opportunity. Hopefully I'm answering that question correctly, Chase. But, you know, in regards to the caller's, texter's question, you know, there's maybe 0.01% of the guys that can do that. Very slim, and I mean very slim, that can not perform in practice but go out in a game and put together a really good game. There's only few that can do that. And the only reason the coaches know it is because those guys have proven it in practice that they can do it. But, you know, for some reason, you know, it's just, yeah, you know, they don't prove it every time they stay out there. They're out there, but they proved it in practice, and then they went in the game and they proved it also. Well, we don't have that. We don't have that for Treylon Burks. We can't say, well, you know, he didn't practice well, but, man, did you see what he did in that first preseason game? He didn't practice well, but did you see what he did in that second preseason game? We can't say that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm left to think, like, I don't know if he's that type of cat. I'm not going to sit there and say he's that type of cat. There's only one cat I've been around that was able to do that. That was Steve McNair. And a lot of it, but all of his was because of injury.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't practice during the week because of injuries at time, but he went out and he balled out. I don't know, especially a young guy. I don't know if you're capable of doing that. I just don't. you got to prove to me that you can play in practice, because to Vrabel and John Robinson, what you do on a practice field translates to game. They're not in the business of saying, oh, you play like, you know what, trash in practice, we're going to throw you in the game. That's not the – Vrabel don't operate that way. If you're not showing it in practice, I'm not going to put you in the game. I can't. I mean, I got to be fair to everybody, you know.
Mark in Paris, let's see if you buy this, D-Mace. Burks was open many times in the games, and they just didn't get the ball to him. I'm not worried. I believe Woods will take care of A.J.'s production. The two tight ends, Burks and Phillips, are all upgrades. Last year we had nothing except A.J., and he was only on the field 50% of the time.
People forget about last year. It's about this year, okay? And Treylon Burks wasn't open a bunch of times, and Malik didn't throw it. Again, people only see the television copy, or they only see from their vantage. They don't see that safety on the backside that the quarterback see, and he feels if I throw this ball, it's going to be an interception. Just like I think in the first game, Treylon Burks was running down the middle of the field. Everybody screaming, oh, he's open on Twitter and everything else. But those people didn't realize the corner was on the backside. The corner was playing a third of the field. The receivers to his side ran a comeback. The linebacker went underneath the comeback. You know what the corner would have done? He would have dropped off on it. He would dropped off on that seam route, and he would have intercepted the ball. Oh, and by the way, the safety was beaming right in for the ball too. The guy he should have thrown it to was the in route. So just because you may think the guy's running scot-free, you got to look at the whole defense and what they're doing. So I understand there have been times where I feel he should have thrown Burks the ball, but it's not like Burks has been open a bunch of times and he just hadn't got the ball. That's not the case. And then sometimes he's just not in the progression. So
yeah.
You know.
Let's go. You got any thoughts on that, Willie, before we go to the phones? Let's go to Adam on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, welcome in.
What's up, Chase? Hey, yeah, I don't think we have Derek Mason-type talent on our team right now, man, and that's okay. Like, the best Ryan Tannehill's ever looked is when Derrick Henry was running it 330 times and he had a tight end that was clutch, and it looks like he's got some pretty clutch tight ends that want to play football. I don't understand the unnecessary Burks pressure. If you put all your cards on a number 16 pick or 18 or whatever he was, then that's bad planning. Like, if you expect him to be a game wrecker, that's bad planning. You should have traded up to number 2 and got that guy. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you're going to say Malik doesn't have to be ready, then you shouldn't put so much pressure on Burks. I just think it's a ridiculous double standard.
All right, appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, but we all know that the pressure is going to be there on the young man. Why? Because he was drafted right after they had traded away their number one receiver. So the pressure is always going to be on there. But I'm with the caller. If he's not ready, why are y'all trying to force this guy to be ready? If he's not ready to play and be a part of the three-man rotation, not to say he's not going to be ready, but he's not ready if they had to start the season right now or if they had to start the season this weekend. I don't think he would be – I would be surprised if he was part of the three-man rotation.
But, again, that's okay. I'm more concerned about availability. To me, that is the bigger question. And I was really optimistic until the last couple of days, and he didn't finish practice today. I think that's why the worry meter is up a little bit. But I think the caller has a lot of sense in saying this. If you had all your eggs in that basket this year, then that's the wrong approach. I mean, it's going to be Derrick Henry. It's going to be the running game. It's going to be passing as the complementary suit to the running game. It's hopefully going to be really good defense. That's where they're going to hopefully win or lose games. The thing that A.J. Brown pointed out, and Jonathan Hutton, I think, reminded me of this, was that even though A.J. Brown, from a counting numbers standpoint, it didn't look all that great, 900 yards or 1,000 yards, the game-changing plays, those were valuable, right? That's where his biggest value was. And if you don't have a guy who can do that, and you hope that Burks can flash at least and make a few of those plays, where are you going to get those plays? Somewhere in there, you need some cheap, big plays.
Well, that's why it's a, you know, it's almost like you have to have the whole, everybody doing their job rather than, you know, just this one person. You can't solely rely on just this one person. Now, they're going to, you know, a bulk of it is going to be on Derrick Henry, but it can't just be Derrick Henry alone, because when teams, i.e. the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills, start to, you know, stack this defensive line to stop the run, you got to have those guys on the outside, whether it's Woods or Burks or Akine or Phillips or Hooper. Those guys got to make them pay, because if they don't make them pay for stacking a box, then it's going to be a very long season for the Titans.
We read you the numbers from Football Outsiders at the percentage of time that Derrick Henry faces the stack box, and it is a huge percentage. It's going to be even bigger without A.J. Brown in there until they prove that they can make defenses pay.
Coming up next, there's news out of Indy that I think is kind of interesting. We'll discuss that. Coming up next, we'll also have your chance to win tickets to see Panic at the Disco as well as we get into the 1 o'clock hour. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.